Upstream, the quest to solve problems before they happen. Author, Dan Heath, co-author of Made to Stick, Switch, Decisive, and The Power of Moments, with Chip Heath. The central question of this book is, why do we spend all our time reacting to problems that have already happened, instead of preventing them from happening in the first place? The answer, Heath argues, is that we are trapped in downstream thinking, and we need to deliberately cultivate upstream thinking. Core Idea 1, downstream work turns us into firefighters, always responding, never preventing. Heath opens with a story. A small town had a riverbank that kept getting overrun by toxic weeds. Every week, townspeople would spend hours pulling the weeds, only to see them grow back within days. Eventually someone asked, "Can we go upstream and figure out where these seeds are coming from?" They walked upstream and discovered a homeowner who was dumping garden waste into the river. The seeds were floating down. They solved the problem at the source. Weed pulling stopped forever. This is the core metaphor of the entire book. Most individuals and organizations live entirely in their own downstream. Emergency rooms are overloaded, but no one asks why the community has so many chronic diseases. Police arrest thieves every day, but no one asks why young people in this neighborhood have no job opportunities. Call centers handle thousands of complaint calls every day, but no one fixes the product design that confuses users. The problem with downstream action is, it never ends. You put out one fire, and the next one is already burning. Core Idea 2, upstream thinking faces three psychological barriers. These are not technical problems, they are human problems. Barrier 1, problem blindness. We stop noticing problems that have been around for a long time. They become just the way things are. Heath gives the example of a hospital emergency room that treated thousands of low-income patients whose health was being destroyed by housing evictions. But no doctor ever thought of housing eviction as a medical issue. It was invisible in the system until someone deliberately traced the root cause. Barrier 2, lack of ownership. Even when you can see the problem, your first reaction is often, "That's not my responsibility." Upstream problems are almost always cross-functional. Road safety involves transportation departments, police, urban planners, and car manufacturers. No single person feels responsible for the whole system. The result, no one actually solves it. Heath emphasizes, upstream actors must be willing to take ownership even when the problem doesn't technically fall within their job description. Barrier 3, tunneling. When people are extremely busy, resource-constrained, or under high pressure, their vision narrows. It is like being in a tunnel, you can only see what is immediately in front of you. You know perfectly well that going upstream to solve the root cause is the right thing to do, but you have an article to finish today, a meeting to attend, a complaint to handle. You don't have the slack to think long-term. Tunneling creates a vicious cycle. The busier you are, the more you can only fight fires. The more you fight fires, the busier you become. Core Idea 3, successful upstream actors already exist. Their experience can be summarized in 7 key questions. These 7 questions are what any person or organization wanting to go upstream should ask themselves. Question 1, how do we assemble the right people? Upstream problems are always systemic. You cannot solve them alone. Sweden's Vision Zero Road Safety Program brought together government agencies, car manufacturers, urban planners, and police, all sitting at the same table, all jointly responsible for 0 deaths. Question 2, how do we change the system? Individual behavior change is hard. System design change is more powerful. Sweden did not put the core responsibility for road safety on drivers being more careful. Instead, they redesigned the roads, building roundabouts, installing physical barriers, automatically lowering speed limits in dangerous zones. Result, the road design itself made accidents much less likely. Driver skill mattered less. Question 3, where is the leverage point? The core of upstream intervention is, use the smallest force to create the biggest change. A public health program in Chicago discovered that behind the high rate of chronic disease in low-income neighborhoods, there was one key leverage point, housing eviction. One eviction causes stress to spike, medication to be lost, diet to deteriorate, and chronic disease to rapidly worsen. So instead of opening more clinics, they provided legal aid to help tenants avoid illegal evictions. One small upstream lever lifted the health level of the entire community. Question 4. How do we get early warning? The most critical capability for upstream action is noticing the problem when it is still small. The book describes a hospital deterioration warning system, not waiting for a patient's heart to stop before rescuing them, but alerting nurses when the patient's vital signs show subtle changes. Result: cardiac arrests dropped by nearly half. Question 5. How do we know we are succeeding? The biggest dilemma of upstream action is, success means something that didn't happen, no car crash, no one got sick, no customer complained. These things are extremely hard to quantify. Upstream actors constantly face the challenge of doing a lot but being unable to explain the results clearly. The book's suggestion: use proxy metrics. For example, among tenants who received legal housing aid, by what percentage did illegal evictions decrease? Question 6. How do we avoid causing harm? Upstream interventions have a natural ethical risk. You think you are helping, but you might actually be creating a bigger problem. Heath gives the example of helicopter parents overprotecting children seems like helping them avoid failure, but it actually deprives children of the opportunity to develop resilience. Upstream actors must constantly ask themselves, is my intervention producing unexpected negative consequences? Question 7. Who will pay for what didn't happen? This is the most practical question. Downstream action has clear payers. A sick person is willing to pay medical bills. A person who crashed their car is willing to pay repair costs. But the benefit of upstream action is what didn't happen. Who pays for that? A century ago, when the Rockefeller Foundation faced a hookworm epidemic in the American South, they didn't choose to simply treat infected people downstream. They invested in public health infrastructure, upstream building sewer systems and providing clean water systems. Who paid? The foundation did. Because they saw the long-term return, a healthy workforce has economic value that far exceeds the cost of infrastructure investment. Core idea 4, upstream thinking applies not only to large organizations, but also to personal life. In the final chapter, Heath brings the perspective back to the individual level. You can ask yourself, in my life, what downstream firefighting can be avoided through upstream intervention? For example, you always stay up late to meet deadlines, and upstream intervention might be marking key milestones on the calendar 2 weeks in advance. You always feel anxious because you don't have time to exercise, and upstream intervention might be putting your workout gear in a visible spot in your bedroom to reduce the friction of starting. Heath, upstream thinking is a kind of a sense of responsibility, not is this within my job description, but is anyone taking care of this? If not, am I willing to step up? This sense of responsibility is what Chinese culture calls a person who takes responsibility for the larger whole, not just their own narrow role. Practical implications: this book has important insights for three groups of people. The first group is business managers and executives. In your organizations, there must be countless downstream firefighting scenarios, customer complaints, system outages, employee turnover. Try asking yourself, what is the root cause of these problems recurring? What upstream leverage points could prevent the recurring downstream costs with a one-time investment? The book has a specific data point: an online travel website, by modifying one-page design, reduced customer service calls by 20 million per year. That is the ROI of upstream intervention. The second group is public policymakers and nonprofit practitioners. Upstream thinking is the core logic of public policy. Building one school is much cheaper than building one prison. Investing in preventive healthcare is much cheaper than treating late-stage chronic disease. But political logic tends to favor short-term visibility, while upstream benefits are long-term and hard to attribute. This book gives you a set of language and frameworks to persuade decision-makers and funders, upstream investment is worth it. The third group is anyone who wants to take control of their own life. Downstream thinking turns us into responders. Email arrives, so we reply, phone rings, so we answer, deadline arrives, so we pull an all-nighter. Upstream thinking turns us into designers, designing our environment, designing our systems, designing our habits, making desired behaviors easier to do and undesired behaviors harder to do. In summary, upstream is not an operating manual that teaches you step by step what to do. It is a mirror. It reflects our normal thinking habit, busy responding to what is in front of us, never questioning the root cause. It tells us, some fires should not be happening, some problems should not exist. Find that person or that organization willing to walk upstream and take a look, that person could be you. Dan Heath says something at the end of the book that I love, and I will use it to close this summary: upstream is not mysterious. It just requires you to believe that some problems don't have to happen.